Welcome to Paper Cuts Podcast, because YA needs to hear this. I'm Ollie from New Jersey.
I'm Robin from Idaho.
And I'm Senna from Ohio.
Today, we are at the end of our trope, talking about love triangles in YA entertainment. What exactly is a love triangle? TV Tropes explains the love triangle as when A is in love with B, but B is in love with C, resulting in wacky hijinks. Alternatively, A and B are both in love with C, who is torn between the two and must make a choice. Thanks, TV Tropes.
I think we should probably start with just a summary of how we feel about love triangles. So we just want to, like, go around the three of us and kind of give an intro.
Sounds good. How about somebody who likes them first? Or at least doesn't totally hate them.
Robin!
I think love triangles are okay if they have the right structure to them. I think it needs to be more than just a love triangle. Maybe a choice between, you know, a kingdom and a kingdom, or two warring nations, a peace and riches, you know, something more than just, well, which hot guy do I want? So it kind of adds to the conflict, so that way the focus isn't solely, oh, pretty guy, isn't he cute? So sweet. I love him. No. I also want to actually feel like the two people, whoever it is, male, female, actually have a chance with the main love interest. Of course, that I'm speaking of mainly two people after one person. There's other love triangles out there that we could argue about, too.
So you want it to be to where everybody stands a chance and not to where it's like two love interest plus one?
How to describe it, but it's more like one is more of a friendship. She had just never feels like he really has a chance at winning her heart. There's a clear person who's going to get her, or him, and the other person is kind of, well, out of luck and being kind of dragged along for the ride.
So like the Jacob.
Jacob and Bella, or Cassandra Clare's love triangle.
Simon.
Yes, Simon Jace. Things along those lines, but it just doesn't work for me too well.
Okay, so make it mean something, like the triangle to mean something more in the context of the actual story and no designated love interest.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Ollie?
I'm not generally a fan of romance, so typically when I find love triangles, what bothers me the most is that, and I know this is supposed to be what is the thing that bothers me the most, but the reason I don't like them is because of what bothers me the most. The idea that your relationship problems require a second person. It's much easier for me to be interested in the romance or just even affection and, oh man, I totally need this guy, this girl, if they're just dealing with one person instead of who do I choose between, because there's one article I was reading where the person brought up that typically, you need to be able to see through the eyes of the protagonist. And this particular article had mentioned, you know, I don't think I've ever had two guys fighting for my love, so I really can't identify with, oh, which one do I choose? And so I guess I just don't identify well with the protagonist in the love triangle. I could probably identify more with the Jacob or the Simon, the person who's very clearly not going to get them, the underdog.
I think that actually brings up an interesting point, because, like, a lot of the argument and the pushback that you get when you talk about fiction is that it's meant to be a fantasy, you know, escapism, and specifically when you have a love triangle where, like, two people are competing for the protagonist's affections, it's meant to be, like, something that you can experience vicariously, because, you know, obviously that's not a situation that very many people ever experienced, so...
Right. Well, and even in Twilight, from what people have discussed, there's the whole, oh, Bella is supposed to be relatable, she's pants, you can just slip her on,
and if you can be...
And yeah, oh, she's klutzy. Oh, she's always getting hurt. And it's like, that's the only thing that we see. Oh, she's klutzy. Like, okay. Everyone bumps into shit.
Yeah. She was meant to not have a personality so that you could kind of slip your personality into her.
Yeah. Which, of course, becomes a problem because what if your personality is like, ugh, this creepy vampire dude is stalking me. Wait, why am I going towards him? No!
Yeah, it's,
The werewolf dude!
And you know, the interesting thing is that a lot of people assert that she's supposed to be a blank slate, you know, for good or for bad. But it makes me wonder if Stephenie Meyer intended her to be, or if she really thought that, you know, clumsiness was the height of characterization. But
I have a family and I'm clumsy.
Right, pretty much. Like, I'm very pretentious and clumsy and sad for absolutely no reason. But anyway, like you said, if you're not into the whole vampire stalking you thing, then you obviously aren't going to be able to empathize or, you know, relate to Bella, even though supposedly that's what it's intended to do, so.
Yeah, and I guess that's the other end for me, too, is that a lot of the love triangles will perpetuate some really bad relationship stereotypes.
Yeah.
That I am just in no way capable of promoting.
Yeah.
Agreeing with. Like, characters where it's like, sure, yeah, this happens. You know, people have really shitty relationships, but not typically to the level that we see, and they don't typically end up with, as we very much see in young adults, being like, oh my god, I totally love my stalker dude.
Forever and ever.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, in fact, this was everything I wanted.
It's really glamorized in YA, the really bad relationships that these characters get into, and it's like, yeah, you may have that in real life, but it's generally not a good thing, whereas in, like, pretty much every YA that's out there now, you know, you have a bad situation, and they're playing it up like it's the height of romance, you know?
Yeah. It's, I think, a lot of people trying to do the Elizabeth Mr. Darcy thing. And they're doing it kind of wrong, but doing it wrong. Yeah. How about you, Jenna?
I generally do not like love triangles in practice for pretty much every reason that you said. Like, they perpetuate a lot of really bad relationship dynamics. They generally fall into the problem that Robin was talking about, where you know who she's going to end up with, and the other guy's just there to draw it out, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it generally ends up reflecting really badly on the heroine for whatever reason, you know, because you get the accusations of, oh, she was just stringing him along, or, you know, they do that thing where they go back and forth between people, and it makes the heroine look bad. So I'm generally not a fan of love triangles the way that I've read them, but I don't think it's impossible for one to be done right.
Which is fair. So I am the least pro love triangle of us, and preparing for this podcast, I was feeling really sort of like grasping at straws of, well, what the heck can I talk about? So I feel that I don't personally have a lot to say that hasn't already been said fairly well elsewhere. I ended up looking around for some related articles on young adult love triangles, and I found a couple that were really good and that I would like to share. We can link them up. And I have a few quotes from them, so I'm going to share some of those now, and then we can chat about our opinions and anything that they might spark from that.
Sounds good.
Okay, so posted in an article called Young Adult Storylines, the Requisite Love Triangle, over at thereadingcafe.com, Sandy says, I am not a fan of the YA love triangle for so many reasons, but the biggest and most heartbreaking is the fact that everyone deserves to love and be loved, especially by the object of one's affections. So I strongly believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, ladies?
I agree. Everyone does deserve to love and be loved, especially by the object of one's affections, as the quote says. But at the same time, I think that by falling in love, you also learn more about what you want, and you can't necessarily know that until you've found that person who makes you kind of want to be something different, maybe. So that would kind of result in perhaps that kind of conflict there. You might have someone in a love triangle who represents the past and one that represents adulthood or childhood and adulthood, and you're trying to figure out how to balance two, and maybe it's a third one that they need to find for them to be right on that one, which would be a love square at that point. But I think that in some ways, if a love triangle is done well, it could actually help deepen the character's understanding of themselves.
I think that's true. I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think the problem here, if I'm understanding it correctly, is that in love triangle, you end up with somebody who doesn't get to be, or who ends up, you know, being heartbroken for one reason or another.
Yeah, but I think any kind of relationship's going to end up with someone being heartbroken at some point. Not all relationships are going to end happily, so.
And that's true, and you're not always going to get who you want. But in the YA love triangle, it is basically destined to happen. Somebody is getting their heart broken.
Yeah, I think there's kind of a difference in writing a love triangle to really, like, explore the characters' relationships and then just kind of including a token one just because, you know, you wanted a love triangle. You didn't really have anything for this character to do other than be the third point. Because then you not only end up with a useless character, but you end up with a character that, you know, some people might end up liking, and they're just there basically to get their hearts stomped on.
Which I actually have another quote on, so let's see. Posted by Christy Cook. The website is How to Write Shop, and the article is Love Triangles in YA Fiction, Yes or No. The quote, talking about some of the pitfalls, Christy says, "One, you have to make the love triangle believable, and this is tricky. It can't come off as some tacked-on element. It has to be organic to the story. I personally never bought into the Bella-Edward-Jacob love triangle because I never believed that Bella cared for Jacob as anything more than a friend, though clearly other readers did buy it, thus the whole team thing."
I think that's probably one of the biggest problems with YA love triangles right now is that they're trendy, and thus you end up with a bunch of books that have love triangles in them that probably should not or probably only have them because, you know, they want to capitalize on the, you know, the ship wars that fans love to get involved in. And I mean, you know, that's great, but then you end up with what Cook is talking about where you don't ever believe that, you know, they're going to get together with the Jacob or the Simon.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there like, why are you wasting my time with this? I know who she's going to end up with. This is really boring.
I would agree that a lot of YA does have that problem with it being obvious as to who's actually going to be the winner of the heart. That's one of the reasons that I say that if the structure's right, the love triangle would be a good structure one. A lot of the times, too, the relationship between the guys just doesn't work out at all. I've had several stories told to me about actual incidences where that did happen. I mean, usually the two guys came to some kind of bowing out system where the obvious one kind of just went, well, I don't have a chance, I'm going to bow out. Whereas in the books, you see the character who doesn't have a chance kind of going, well, I could still try to win her, right? And it just seems to kind of go against the logic that I've seen and heard of some love triangle that in real life love triangles happening. I think I went off topic here, but
no, I think that's actually really interesting because it's true. I mean, a lot of the times when you see these two guys fighting over a girl, they literally come to blows, you know, and they spend like the entire book or trilogy or series hating each other. And, you know, you get more of that that fan ire directed at the heroine because, oh, she's leading them along and whatnot. And then, you know, because they really hate each other. And that's, I think you're right. I don't think that's how it would work in real life. I think, you know, when somebody's not really into you and you generally don't want to keep subjecting yourself to that kind of rejection. So you do what Robin says and you bow out. And when you don't, then you run into the nice guy problem, where the guy just keeps hounding the girl even after she's made it clear that she's totally not into him, but he's just convinced that if he keeps being nice, she'll eventually get it.
Yeah, it comes back around to not believing it, just not feeling it. It's hard enough to be the person or know the people who are the Jacob, the Simons. When it's that obvious, it's just, screw this book. I don't care. I know what your choice is. I know what you're putting forth as this is desirable and therefore people should want it. And mm-hmm. I don't always agree with it. If it was believable, you know, again, going back to what Robin does like about a love triangle is when it's done well. If it was believable, wouldn't be that big of a problem, but I don't read a lot of love triangle young adult books in the first place that I'm not running into enough that are done well. You know, as a whole, the percentage that is done well, I'm not hitting it.
I think that's a good way to put it too, like what is being portrayed as desirable, because you can really see authors tipping their hand in that way, you know, when they're trying to keep up the suspense of, oh, she loves both of them, who's she going to choose? But you can usually see when they're showing you, well, like this guy, man, you know, this other guy is okay and he's hot and stuff, but this guy, this what he's doing over here, this is what you want.
This is what you want.
Yeah.
Like Cassandra Clare's book, Clary just kind of basically forgets about Simon. That's how he turns into a rat. And
rat?
Yeah, he turns into a rat. And but
spoiler drama.
And Jace, you know, most of that's because she's hanging out with Jace. She just kind of completely abandons Simon, and then she gets mad at other characters because they weren't watching there, and then you're kind of like, well, you're supposed to be watching him since you're the best friend and you're the one who brought him into this world, so.
And that's a problem, too. Like, when the heroine, the protagonist, and I always say heroine a lot because it seems like girls seem to find themselves in this situation more than boys, at least in the books that I end up reading.
Well, and that's another state of young adult today. The boys aren't sitting there going, which girl will I pick?
You know, I honestly, I'm sure that I've read at least one, but I'm having trouble thinking of one right now, because it seems like when you do end up with, like, the girl competing with another girl, it's like that kind of that superficial gesture that they have, where it's like the mean girl at school that he's hanging out with because he doesn't want to hurt the heroine or something.
Well,
or
hey, you know, Jessica's Guide to Dating on the Dark Side.
That's true.
There was that shoved in mean girl love triangle bullshit.
I mean, it barely counts. That was a problem for like half a book, maybe. especially thinking in terms of these other books that go on for like 3-4 books, and she still has
a
dude. That was the equivalent of a passing folly, you know.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of one where the girl is fighting for a guy, I read Splintered by A.G. Howard, and that basically turned into two love triangles, except that the other girl wasn't there to basically defend herself, but the heroine, the protagonist, wants this skater dude dating some mean girl, and has been for a while, so there is that. There is the fighting over a boy, and the mean girl, from the way she was characterized, seems that she views the protagonist as a possible challenge to her position. So that did feel real enough. It's just, like I said, she wasn't around most of the story to defend her position as the girlfriend.
Yeah, it seems like they, like a lot of books have that kind of brief thing where the heroine comes into school or the new guy comes into school and he's immediately set upon by the mean girl, or already is dating the mean girl, and you kind of have the heroine as the usurper, you know, where, well, she's the one he really wants, but he was already dating this girl, or, yeah.
Or social obligations. What the fuck social obligations?
I know. In high school.
Social obligations. Today, I'm the head cheerleader, like the girls will always say. I need to date the captain of the football team. Says fucking who?
I know, since like, when?
Yeah, maybe, like, nobody ever thinks that the head cheerleader could date, like, somebody on the soccer team, or maybe someone who doesn't even do sports. Maybe she's dating some dude from another high school. Like, maybe she's not even dating anyone. Maybe she's just sleeping around because she's like, fuck it, I'm sexy.
All right, and you know what? That is something that we need to talk about in the near future, because these depiction of high schools that you get in these books these days is like at least 50 years outdated. Okay, like I'm pretty sure they stopped doing that back when Greece was a thing. But yeah, no, that doesn't happen. Like I'm sure there's like some like rural community in like the middle of Oklahoma or something where they rigidly adhere to the football player cheerleader bullshit, but come on, like especially in some of the places where these books take place, like in the middle of cities like in Chicago or New York, it's like, no, that is not how it works. You need to stop pretending. And
in those ones too, especially like the cities, it's it's whitewashing, and that drives me crazy too. I really want to see more in love triangles that represent what you're actually dealing with in the population.
Oh God, whitewashing is another. Yeah,
we'll have lots of tropes to talk about.
Seriously, because this is not a genre without its huge mm-hmm. fucking problems. But
yeah,
I mean, you get. I don't know if there's an equivalent word for it, but, like, an abundance of straight people.
Yes, yes.
I would love to see more bisexual or homosexual love triangles, just mm-hmm. in general.
I would be way more interested in love triangles if it was a dude trying to decide between a guy and a girl, or a girl trying to decide between a guy and a girl, or between two girls, or just... I've seen it a couple times, but not a lot.
It's getting so old because not only do you have girl, guy, but you have the exact same types of characters. You've yeah. got, like, the douchey, you know, whatever, and then the nicer...
whatever.
Yeah, the douchey. And then, you know, the nicer, like, best friend type, or, you know, the one who's not quite as dark, or... They've got so many stops.
Tropes has it listed as the fire and ice love triangle.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you see one, you see pretty much all of them in this genre, and it's like, can we at least try some kind of different dynamic here?
I want to see the bad girl and the bad guy fighting over the main character.
Yeah.
Which bad choice are you going to make?
Seriously. You don't have to do it the same way as everybody else just because it's popular.
Yeah. Okay, I have another quote that I picked out when we were chatting a moment ago, where we were talking about everyone's perfect. This was from the same article by Sandy over at thereadingcafe.com. She says, "The heroes and heroines are all beautiful, and the images portrayed on book covers and in the movies reflect the unnatural perfection of the storyline characters, as do most adult novels. But most adults know the difference between reality and fictional characters."
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Can we pause for a sec?
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stay tuned.
Look out! Quick, get it back up! Hurry!
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stay tuned.
Are we all clear? Oh, okay, we're all clear.
So, I'm sure you guys noticed a little bit of echo in the past couple minutes of conversation. We apologize for that, but we have fixed it now, so hopefully that won't be an issue for any more of the podcast.
Sorry. Wasn't me, but sorry.
We blame Robin.
You blame Robin. Okay.
I'm always blamed. The quiet one's always a troublemaker, isn't it?
She's our whipping boy.
Alright, so we were talking about your last quote. Robin, did you have any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think this would be a good quote for if we did something like book covers,
mm-hmm.
What we thought about book covers. I think we've discussed this before, just not on a podcast. I would have to agree. I haven't seen any plain or, you know, not supermodel-looking characters, but at the same time, I'm kind of wondering if we're just talking book covers, if that's more the publisher than the author, because there's been times where the main character might have been African-American or Asian, and the book cover will show someone who's white. So there could
True,
be imperfections
the
described
yeah.
in the book, but not shown on the cover. So it just kind of depends on what angle you want to take on this, because in some of the books that I have read, they would say, well, she thinks of herself as plain, and of course this guy who's infatuated is going to think she's beautiful even if she is just plain, because love makes you see people differently, theoretically. So I think it just depends on the angle you play.
And even if the authors are doing the right thing, as many of them are, you know, like you said, you do find, you know, oh, she just has, like, scraggly limp hair, and she's got acne, and, you know, she hates her clothes because they're hand-me-downs from her sister from 10 years ago, or whatever, you know, where she's like, I feel awful, therefore I present myself as looking awful because my confidence is lacking.
Mm.
It needs to be reflected on the cover. I'm of the belief that the publishers are just as responsible for the image that is presented. And sure, you want to move books, you want to sell books, but the cost is internal and internalized to the reader when they see the character on the cover, when they see the characters in the movies.
That's very true. It's kind of like a balance between corporate responsibility and social responsibility in what they're portraying and perpetuating on their covers. And that, you know, that applies to not having, like, plain or people on the covers, but, you know, Sosk also goes into the whitewashing, like Robin was mentioning, yeah, where they think that people will only pick up books that feature white people, so...
White people are not the only people reading books, also.
Right? Like, well, you know, don't tell that to publishers.
It's such a, you know, I hate it. Because I will read a book with someone who is not the same ethnicity as me, or not even in the same country as me, or not the same gender as me, or sexuality. It's, tell a good story first.
Yeah.
Don't worry about appealing to my demographic, because first off, I don't even think I'm in the demographic that they're looking for. Though I have heard that more people in their 20s buy young adult books than teenagers mm-hmm. do, which is interesting, which means technically people in their 20s are their demographic,
right?
But
yeah, that's getting into a whole other can of worms that we need to discuss at some point. But like going back to the quote itself, I think that also comes back to you know, where they're writing a fantasy again, where, you know, if you're going to fantasize about yourself, you're probably not going to be like a normal person. You're going to be the most goddamn beautiful person that ever existed on the face of the planet, with these badass eyes and badass hair, and, you know, just so special and unique. And again, that's great, maybe like the first time, but when you're on girl number 16 with purple eyes and silver hair,
I'm pretty sure we called those Mary Sues back on fanfiction.net in the day.
You know, when something becomes the norm and it's not in any way a reflection of reality, you know, it's about diversity. There's not enough. You've got, like, one type of character that you see over and over again, even if you do get one who, like you were talking about, presents herself as not being pretty because she doesn't believe she's pretty. By the end of the book, she will have discovered that with some, you know, with a flat iron and some nice clothes and some makeup, she is goddamn beautiful.
Oh, the hot, ugly chick.
Yeah, the pretty, ugly. They, you know, when it's in Not Another Teen Movie, you have a problem.
I love them. When it's like, wait, what if I take off your glasses and let down your hair? My God, you're gorgeous!
I know, TV Tropes has like 20 different tropes for that one particular, you know, like the sexy librarian, the pretty ugly girl, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, you really rarely get a character who is actually plain. Like, you know, she's just the type that needs some makeup and new clothes and to do something with her hair. Even Jessica's Guide had that, you know, where he put her in a pretty dress and holy shit, look at that.
Oh my God, your dark hair is fantastic now that I put it up.
Suddenly your Romanian features are striking instead of off-putting, like, whatever.
Yeah, that bounces back to something I'd mentioned very early on, the idea of needing to be able to connect with the character. Most of us are not the girl who just needed a little bit of makeup and to be put in a sexy dress. I mean, but a lot of people are, and, you know, usually we think of ourselves, or thought of ourselves in high school, as way uglier than the reality of it. But if you are reading about this person who it's like, they do those few things, you're still kind of going to close the book and go, well, good for her.
Yeah. Well, and it leads people, it feeds into this whole, you know, social attitude of, like, you know, when you're not the person who can just put up her hair and suddenly be stunning, you get this feeling like, well, I'm a total failure. You know, like,
yeah,
I can't put up my hair and be gorgeous. Well, clearly there is not a place for me in this world, you know? And it's really awful when that kind of thing is not just something that you see in, like, movies and TV. It's in the stories that we're writing for ourselves. You know, like, you're putting so much value on this one type of character, or on this one feature.
On this physical
feature.
Being. And that if you can't do this thing, that, well, that's the only way that anyone tells me how to do it. No one's telling me how to do anything else.
Yeah, nobody's writing, you know, not a lot of people are writing books about how to just, you know, be the normal girl. It's how to be the special, beautiful girl. And again, that's awesome for escapism, but it should not be the only thing out there.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. There is a place for the huge escapism of, I'm so perfect, and all of these supernatural boys who are super special themselves want me. But there needs to be a stronger showing in the other categories sometime soon.
Yes. I think that's a really big problem with the triangles, too, is that, you know, you're writing these characters for people like you, and sure, it could be a fantasy, but you're also putting so much emphasis on, in the case of love triangles, on romance and how it is the be-all, end-all of this character's existence. Like, everything that their self-worth, their, you know, the storyline, the plot, everything revolves around this choice. And it's, you know, it may be awesome to be that girl that everybody's fighting over, but when you are tying so much of this reality that you've created into this choice, that's saying really awful things about the people that you're trying to tell this story to. Like, well, if you don't have two boys fighting over you, then what the hell are you doing with your life, you know?
Yeah. How are you ever going to make babies?
Right. How are you ever going to be a complete person if you don't have a vampire and a werewolf and a fairy just, like, stabbing each other over you? I don't...
Yeah, I mean, aren't there... I don't read Cassandra Clare, but isn't there something in her work where it's, like, your soulmate, your other piece of your soul or something? Or is that someone else that I'm thinking of?
That's a huge part of L.J. Smith's Nightworld series.
Okay.
Yeah, like every single book of her Nightworld series, at least, is about finding a soulmate as a teenager. And it's like literally completing them.
But she also does a very good job of actually giving those characters imperfections. She has Jillian, who starts seeing herself as pretty when the angel shows up and starts helping her figure out what to say and how to port herself. And she cuts her hair, and that helps. But she actually starts listening to his advice, and she gets a little bit more confidence, and that makes her feel more attractive. And then with Hannah, she's got that scar on her face, or that birthmark, I think. And that other book that they have on, that L.J. Smith has. So they all have, a lot of them, I should say, have some kind of disfigurement or low confidence that they actually try to conquer in the book while they're actually falling in love there.
Yeah, but that's also like, well, you need a guy to tell you that your birthmark is really hot for you to be okay with that. Like, that's, I'm not saying that there aren't books where they build up the heroine separately from her romance. I mean, those do exist somewhere, I'm sure. But a lot of them, they tie in so much to the romance that the characters don't get a chance to, you know, self-actualize because they're too busy concentrating on which guy they need to bone next, although they don't actually bone, so.
Oh, God, no, never sex.
That doesn't happen till you're happily married and then only to have children.
I'm a 35-year-old, right?
Sorry, what were you saying,
Rob?
I'm
reading the wrong books. A lot of the YA read have sex in them.
Apparently you are, because I never see anybody get laid.
But, you know, I like this Dark Angel, because Angel is the one who gives her the confidence, but it's not the person she ends up falling in love with. But she confuses Ray's self-esteem for love, and that kind of conflicts her for a while, and then until she realizes she likes how Angel makes her feel, but that's not being in love with him, which is something that I've kind of seen myself in relationships.
Where someone makes you feel better, and then it's like, but this isn't love, this is just, you're nice to me, and thank you.
That's true. I think there are probably a few stories where that is the case, but it's not generally presented that way within the story itself.
Yeah, well, we're talking about books that are 90s.
Yeah, right. This was quite a while ago. Now it's all about the true love.
Which I guess is unfortunate, since the two of you say that L.J. Smith is the, like, grandmother of this genre, and to be like, grandma looking over the hill going, kids these days.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, there is not a love triangle variation that L.J. Smith didn't do, except for, you know, same sex, because...
Well, that and
was in a pro in the 90s.
Right. Sorry, what'd you say, Rob?
And racial differences. I don't think she did anything on racial differences.
That's actually true.
That is something good Stephanie Meyer did. She did at least have two different races in there. The two guys were two different races.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, with those...
there's a lot of different
shape-shifting Indians.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole other issue.
But I guess that also parallels in the werewolf vampire thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, Robin, were you saying something?
Well, you know, for all its faults, it's actually one of the positives she probably has in her books. She did have at least more than one race.
It's true, and you know what? That's really sad. That is a good thing we can say about Twilight. You know what? At least Twilight was not all about the Whiteys. Low bars.
There was one article that I was reading over where readers today are so honed in on where's the love triangle that apparently there's some other character in Twilight that is a human. I think his name is Mike or something.
Yeah.
That he could be seen as being another person who also likes Bella, who could be part of this triangle, this dodeca, whatever.
It's true, though. Like, you, I was reading this other book not too long. White Trash Zombie. And I was keyed into the love interest thing. I'm like, okay, we're like halfway through the book now. When's she going to meet her love interest? And there was like something missing there for me because I've gotten so used to it.
It's a weird state of things when you basically become, you know, programmed to look for the love interest. And that it's that refreshing moment of, oh, no love interest? Oh, well, plot then. Let's move forward.
Yes, exactly. And it really was. There was that moment where I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, this is awesome. It's just going to be about her.
And that's nice, too, when the story is just about the guy or the girl who is the main character.
Mm-hmm.
They get a chance to shine and not have to be defined by anyone else.
There's so much that gets tangled up in these love triangles. So much of the plot. It's like a refreshing absence when you can see how a plot can proceed when the heroine doesn't have to spend half the book
angsting.
Yes, or developing with one guy or another to keep it going.
Yeah, it's just like the room just clears.
Mm-hmm. Did you have another quote that you wanted to share, Al?
I sure do.
Yeah.
All right. So, posted by Gretchen at My Life is a Notebook, and the article is, Dear YA Authors, I'm Getting Sick and Tired of Love Triangles.
Yeah.
So Gretchen, she had talked about the two different people, typically in the love triangle, the two dudes, this guy and that guy. She says, also, this guy and that guy, if the girl is taking that freaking long to make up her mind which one of you to choose, chances are she's not really in love with either of you, and there are plenty of other fish in the sea who actually might like you. And I just wanted to scream that every freaking time. There's multiple books of which boy, which one, maybe him. I'm like never actually committing enough to one of them to date him for a while. Like when it's, I'll date this guy. Okay. Then we broke up. Oh, and then I'll date this guy. And then I might go back to this guy. That's different. But when it's just, I don't know. I just want to be like, move on. Like she's not that super fucking special. But of course she is, which we discussed, you know, with her silver hair and her purple eyes. you're never going to find that again. Their contact.
Her super amazing, super special scent, or her reincarnated soul that you have been reincarnated with 20 million times in the past.
You're not going to be able to just do this again next time and let her live her life for one freaking lifetime.
No, God, that would be unselfish.
You know, or, hey, I can't read your thoughts. How refreshing. Maybe you can't read her thoughts because she doesn't have any, but that's a special point.
No, it makes her special. It makes her special and worthy of breeding.
Special.
This is, again, it's not like this is a reflection of real life, okay? These are circumstances that the authors control, and when the author's in control here, there is no way that this guy and that guy are going to just throw up their hands and be like, fuck it.
Let's go play basketball. I'm done.
Right, no, it's like, fuck it. You know who I want to be with? I want to be with that guy.
Yeah, this guy and that guy totally need to just be together.
Right, I'm sure there's many a fanfic. You can't apply real-world logic to this kind of thing, because real-world logic would not allow this stuff to happen. Because in the real world, there is not the one person whose mind you can't read. There is not the one person with whom you've been reincarnated 14 million times. It's...
Yeah.
And in these books, it is. You know, they can't just throw that away because that would be foolish.
My one shot at being happy this lifetime. Why would I ever throw that away?
That's another thing. Like, why is it always one shot?
at like 15, you know?
Yeah, you know, you find your be-all, end-all soulmate before you've graduated high school and you live happily ever after. What do you mean 50-50 divorce rate?
Actually, later in that same article, Gretchen had said, people can fall in love for, all caps, real reasons, not just see each other and be instantly attracted. Yeah. That is...
I think it's frustrating because nobody seems to want that to happen. Like, why is actual love so goddamn boring to you people?
Because it's hard.
True enough.
Because insta-love is easy, and that's what you should want. You should just look at the person and go, damn, girl, and be like, I'm going to make babies with you. That is the answer. That is what you're thinking. And if you don't have that, you're like, maybe I don't really like this girl. Maybe I just want to, like, hold her hand and make out a little, go down her pants and be fine. And like, yeah, I could be cool with that. But I definitely don't want to take her home to mom. And she's totally not going to be the mother of my children. And, you know, not even just, I don't even see myself being with this person for several years. Like, you don't see that. People are just, they're going to be together forever. Okay, fuck forever. How about you want to be with this person for 3 years? You want to live with this person every single day? How about when they, you know, they're going to the bathroom and you're like, dude, I gotta pee. They're like, oh, whatever. And then, like, they stank up the whole bathroom. Is that, are you ready for that? And you're finding his pubes on the toilet seat and you're like, oh, God. You wouldn't find that before. You weren't living with this dude. Are you ready for this? This is what you're talking about fucking forever.
Oh, my God, Ollie. What are you... Are you implying?
Ollie, what are you on?
Are you
sorry? I got a lot of
that angels and demons and vampires can stink up bathrooms. How dare you?
I'm sorry, I forgot they shit roses. Forgive me.
They don't shit at all.
Oh, they shit diamonds.
They build houses without bathrooms, except showers because it's hot. You know, doing it in the shower. But
they're diamond crystal salted showers. Pour milk all over them.
There's no such thing as pubes or brushing teeth or stank. Get your heathen thoughts out of this genre.
Yeah, the paranormal creatures are too busy following the heroin around.
What if they can't stand you? What if you do horrible things and they're like, oh my God, and you do this little laugh, I just want to punch you. Like, what if they hate you? You sure you're committed for forever, but they could be like, yeah, this isn't really working out. Like, you hate all of the food that I like, so I can't really see myself being with you forever.
I think we've actually said something like this before, but, you know, we need the book that's like Bella and Edward 10 years later when he's got a paunch and, you know, she's just so goddamn tired of all his emoing.
Drawing out, smoking cigarettes.
You know, her daughter's grown up and off shagging the dog and they have to deal with each other.
You're like, oh, this is not what I wanted at all.
Right? And you know what? That is pretty much real life. I mean, they go off at the end of the books, they always go off into this la-la happily ever after where apparently reality does not exist, but
that mortgages don't exist, and I want to go back to college doesn't exist.
God, why would you go back to college?
Oh, we're just going to roam around Europe for the rest of eternity, and we're going to, like, feast on tourists by the Seine. It'll be great.
That's how real people get educations.
Go live it.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, setting up this unrealistic expectation. And I mean, you can argue that, and a lot of people do, that teenagers are not as stupid as we think they are. And that is kind of true. But when you see so much of the same thing built up in the society that you're living, you know, even if you have really good judgment, it's going to creep in. You know, it's going to affect you. Like,
that's
you're going to think that, you know what, I have to find this one person that I live with happily ever after, or
exactly.
A failure.
If you are smart and you're in high school and, you know what you want to do with your life, but then that moment happens where you do think you're instantly in love with someone and you need to make them instantly in love with you, you can make really dumb decisions based on social programming.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly smart people are doing dumb things.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, so many people are stuck on this idea of, you know, happily ever after forever. And especially at a young age, nobody's really willing to, like, contemplate happily ever after for now.
Yeah.
So there's so much pressure to find the one, this one person that you're going to be with forever and ever. And you know what? Not everybody has that. You know, not everybody is meant for that. So,
and not everyone's meant for relationships either.
Right.
You know, maybe you're good with... We're going to go into some other stuff here. Maybe Bella should have been with Edward and Jacob. Maybe that's what she needed. Maybe she needed the stability of the vampire household and family, but to lighten the fuck up, she had to go hang out with Jacob. But could the two of them ever be comfortable sharing her? Could she be comfortable sharing Jacob with someone else? Like, it's never going to happen in young adult, but there's more than monogamy out there available.
Relationship would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I do have my one example that I trot out for polyamory.
That's
it did happen in YA at least twice, but in the same series. But yeah, no, and you know, it's this one way or no way at all. Like, you really don't get a lot of books with, like, somebody being by themselves or, you know, somebody being with two people or...
And them being okay with it? I mean, long gone are the days of just dating multiple people.
Right? No, you can't date people.
Trying it out.
You're a slut.
Yeah. And it's like, but I don't know if I like this dude. What if I don't like him as much as I like this dude?
You must love him forever.
You either like him instantly or you fucking let that guy go.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't happen. And it's really a shame because you would think that, especially in YA, which is meant for people in high school where dating is kind of a thing.
Yeah. That this, like, you date for 5 days and it's like, woohoo!
Yeah, you would think that this would be more of a thing, but it's not, and it's usually for that, you know, for that reason, like, well, the heroine has to be awesome and pure, and she can't date people, or she's a slut. That's what the mean girl does. She dates people. It's really sad that this genre, and particularly this sub-genre of, like, paranormal, has gotten set in this one fixed story that they just keep telling over and over.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see a series of books that does include a love story, but that the character might start off dating someone and then be single for a book or a book and a half, and then go date someone else.
Yes, exactly. There are alternatives that the genre really isn't presenting.
And I want to see more of that.
Yes, I agree.
Then maybe
there's a lot of, I don't know about you guys, maybe just hung out with the wrong crowd, but a lot of my friends in high school would go, why would you want to be in a relationship and it only ends up in divorce? And they would say that because their parents got divorced. And I'm kind of like, well, you know, I wouldn't know either. I'm not too interested in a relationship myself, but there's, you know, divorce would probably scar a lot of them. You don't see many people, families who have divorced families either in these stories, it doesn't seem like.
Or if they do, it's just
Twilight had divorced.
Yeah, it's just it's fodder to make the heroine insecure. Like, she can't trust him because her parents were divorced, but he convinces her through the power of true love.
The power of love.
But yeah, it's often, you know, even real subjects like divorce or dead parents, they're just there to present, like, an emotional obstacle. They're not actually, like...
Missing parents is very common.
They're just there to be in the way so that the dude has to convince her real love, yada yada.
I can heal your broken heart.
Pretty much. That is the theme song.
So, continuing with Gretchen at My Life is a Notebook, she wrote an article on YA books that make abusive, stalkerish, horrible relationships seem like they're okay, hear me roar. So she's talking about a specific book, and I feel that it's relevant to most books. So, she says that the entire book seems to be telling its readers that if your boyfriend is an alcoholic, abusive, dysfunctional, sociopathic, and sadistic, well, that's okay. It is not okay. On no level is that okay. I'm fully aware that these kinds of relationships happen in real life, that they are a fact that real women struggle with every day. That isn't right either, of course, but I'm not being harsh to those women. I'm angry at YA literature that tells young girls that that kind of relationship is okay when it really, really isn't.
Yep.
Was it the Hush series?
That had the sociopathic stalker boyfriend?
On a motorcycle?
I don't know about
like
motorcycle.
Boys on motorcycles. I don't know.
Might have been. Honestly, it's been so long.
Or Halo or something like that. They all have an H.
Oh, yeah, you know, it was probably Halo that was kind of notoriously awful. Not that Hush Hush was any better.
When I was reading that it had that kind of relationship, that's when I was decided that, yeah, it's not going to be something that I can pick up ever. Or I don't want to read about it. I don't want to support it.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to find a book that is not like that anymore. But Hush Hush was particularly bad because the guy wasn't even vaguely sympathetic. He was just all kinds of rapey. And the worst part was that the girl knew it. She was actually, like, legitimately afraid of him, but she was also excited by that and pursued it against her better judgment, which was a bad idea because his whole plan was basically to kill her.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but they fall in love. You know, it's okay.
Oh, I'm going to change my mind and not kill you or rape you.
Pretty much. She's like, you know what? You're hot. I'm not going to kill you.
There was a book. It was about a teenager who was a serial killer. He gets out of jail, and this girl has what she calls obsessions. And to get rid of her obsessions, she has to kiss whoever she gets obsessed about. One, at the very beginning, it's a rock star. She kisses him, and she's done with the obsession. She can move on with her life. Well, as soon as that's done, she ends up getting an obsession with this serial killer.
Oh, boy.
And she kind of ends up his partner in crime in a way.
Well, see, that seems like a more
and
realistic...
And at the very end, where she dies.
Oh, in the end she dies?
Yeah, she dies at the end.
Spoilers, Robin. It's okay. I feel that that's a way more realistic... That's a way more realistic portrayal of what happens when you're with some abusive stalker sociopath.
Yeah, and I think the key difference here is that the relationship between this girl and the serial killer is probably not considered epic romance.
Romantic.
Yeah, epic romance. That might be one of the hearts of the whole thing, is that it's this epic romance with a
looking
bad
for the next
sadist.
Scarlett O'Hara.
Yeah. You know, your romance is not going to be epic. It is probably going to be epic for you, but I freaking promise you that your love is not actually epic.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have sonnets written to you. You know, Odysseus is not going to spend 20 years trying to come back to you. I mean, while you're being pursued by suitors and, oh no, I couldn't possibly, I know he's still alive. No, that shit is not real.
Tenderness.
What?
The book's called Tenderness.
Okay.
If anyone wanted to look it up, it's Tenderness by Robert Cormier.
Now that you've spoiled it, Robin.
Anyway,
yeah.
Sociopath. Let's go back to that.
Which sociopath? You have to be more specific.
And therein lies the problem.
You know, that really is the core problem here, okay? Love triangles are all right when they're well constructed and there are worthy candidates. When you have to choose between asshole number one and asshole number two, you know what? I don't give a fuck. You know why? Because they're both assholes. This is not a good situation. I don't care who she gets with. That is honestly the problem with like 90% of these books, is that douche number one and douche number two, and I'm supposed to want her to be with them.
Yes, you're supposed to. Not even the main character, you.
Mm-hmm. It hinges on my finding them hot.
Right, because they have nothing else going on.
Either that or you have to be woman enough to fix your flaws.
Oh, yeah. They change for you. Your true love change them. Which is not, no, by the way, true. How it works.
Yeah.
People.
There's a quote about women get together with men hoping that the man will change. Men get together with women hoping the women never will. And both of those are wrong.
Yeah, I think that's our clincher here, is that in order to be invested in this, I have to want to root for somebody.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I can't get behind a love triangle.
Sigh. So I think we should probably go through example of good love triangle, example of bad love triangle, and kind of close it out.
Closing it out would be good. I think we've talked for quite a while.
Does anybody have an example of a love triangle that they actually enjoyed or thought did it right? And why did they do it right? And by anybody, I mean Robin.
Blood and Chocolate.
You like that one?
Well, I like Blood and Chocolate, yeah.
why YA. Did you like chocolate? Like, what about the love triangle did you think was well executed?
Well, it wasn't just her, oh, wow, I'm attracted to two guys. Which one do I pick? It was, I don't like you, but I like you. Let's get better to know you. And he found out something about her he didn't like, and they broke up. And the guy who's been kind of in the shadows is kind of there for her, and she kind of falls for him during that time. But there was always that kind of small bit of a competition there with her cultures clashing and things along those lines. So it was also the combination of, do I choose this world or this world with the men? It wasn't just, oh, pretty boy. So I thought that was actually pretty well done in that area.
Okay. I see what you mean there. Any other ones that you can think of?
I like the L.J. Smith ones where they do have a love triangle. And I did mention Dark Angel. Right now, I think the good YA love triangle is rare. But if it's well done, it is actually something memorable. Those are the kind of the stories that kind of give a wider depth to the characters that I think you can actually get in a lot of modern day books in that subject area. And you get more of a connection, and then you also learn a lot of different little lessons in it. Instead of just, who do you choose, and how do you choose it, and am I good enough for them to change for me, or can I change for them, kind of a thing.
Okay.
How about you, Senna?
You know, I really can't think of one that I liked all the way through. One that started out doing it right was the Nightshade series by Andrea Kramer. I ended up hating those books, but it was because she didn't develop the love triangle. It started out really well because the main character has one guy who is part of the society, kind of like Blood and Chocolate, that she is trying to break away from. Like, they're basically slaves, but it is a cushy kind of slavery. Like, they're rewarded with, like, houses and a comfortable life, and, you know, they have their family and their pack around them, but their job and their destiny, their duty for life, is to protect bad people. And so she has this one guy who is part of that whole life. Like, he is her future, you know, the guy that she's supposed to marry, that her life will continue normally. And then there's the human who comes in, and he's part of this completely different culture, and he's there telling her, you know, you don't have to do anything you don't want to, you don't have to be a part of that, you can have your own life, you can make your own life, blah blah, blah. And it started out really good because, you know, she's not just choosing between two guys, she's choosing between freedom and comfort and security, and it started out really well. And then just three books later and she still hasn't chosen, and they haven't followed up on any of those interesting themes, and it's just like middle finger.
We come back to the maybe you don't really love God. Either of them.
Yeah, no, it's one of the most awful in terms of like lacking character development. Like, even at the end, she doesn't actually ever choose between the two. One of them just gets killed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't have to choose between comfort and freedom. Okay, great.
Right, no, she never even
actually...
That's
really compelling.
Yeah, it's a really great idea, and it was touching on some really great themes, and she just never followed up on them. It was, like, a huge shame. So that's the best way to tank a love triangle. So that started out good. I think the only really decent love triangle that I ever really enjoyed was from Wicked Lovely, and that had a couple of them, most of them involving that polyamorous thing where all three people just went off together, and it was awesome.
Happily ever after.
Yes. And then, you know, one where the girl was like, fuck both y'all, and went off by herself.
Yeah.
So,
I like
yeah.
that ending.
So those are my two that I cling to, thinking maybe someday there will be another. So did you have a love triangle that you thought was done well?
No.
Not even a little bit?
Well, I don't really have much experience with love triangles done well. I just don't have much experience with it. I'm sure if I looked back over all of the books I've read, there's got to be something somewhere that the love triangle was an important enough factor to not be made up, you know. But for the most part, the times I've liked any kind of love whatsoever is when it's between, you know, one person pining after another person and maybe trying to get them or not, or impress them or something like that. I'm much more interested in the one-on-one, the PvP of a young adult, rather than everyone's coming to me and loves me. I'm so fabulous.
That's how it works in real life.
Well, then I'm doing it wrong. So yeah, for me, I can't think of one. I'm sure we could mention a whole lot that are doing it wrong. You know, I'm reading one right now. But, you know, I'm pretty sure people can probably find ones that are the opposite of everything that is good that we were saying throughout this whole podcast. I guess my only thing that I could say to the young adult love triangle is, you're doing it wrong. You're bad and you should feel bad.
Thanks for listening to the Paper Cuts podcast. You can find Ollie at oliviahennis.wordpress.com, Robin at robinconnolly.blogspot.com, and me at ykmreviews.blogspot.com. See you next time.